flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Yeah, Friday. What's up? Welcome in. It's Grant and Danny, and we are live out and about in Leesburg at Green Tree Tavern. You know I'm a Leesburg guy. You know I love this little strip downtown, main strip of Leesburg. We are in the thick of things at what is an awesome little setup and bar today. We've had some delicious food. The staff is taking good care of us, and we're going to be celebrating an amazing Commander season with listeners all day long at Green Tree Tavern.
This is one of those big ones, one of the big nights, big day, big night, the whole nine yards. This is a great way to round out the Friday Field Trip series, which has been such a blast for us all year long. It's been really, really cool. Our hosts at every stop have been great, and Green Tree Tavern is no exception. I've already dined on some incredible food stuffs. Everybody has chowed down. It is so good here. It's a great vibe right around the corner before 106.7 The Fan live tonight, which is always a blast as well. Just a whole bunch of like-minded folks getting to chop it up with the Junks and B. Mitch and Finley and everybody in between. These are those really cool get-to days.
Yeah, it's a sold-out venue at Tally Ho Theater for the big show tonight, which is going to be a blast. It starts at around 8 o'clock on stage, I think. There might be a couple of things beforehand, but the doors are at 7, so you want to get here pregame a little bit with us at Green Tree Tavern. We're about 100 yards away from the Tally Ho Theater right around the corner. And then we're going to walk over with listeners when we're done to go enjoy ourselves over at the Green Tree Taverns and then Tally Ho Theater. So going to be a great day. Come spend it with us here on G&D. Before we talk about tonight's event, I do want to ask you. I couldn't help but notice. It was literally yesterday afternoon that you were busting Ryan's chops about eating avocado toast. Like, there was a lot of chirping about him being an avocado toast guy. And then you sat down and looked at the menu with 273 amazing things on it, and then you ordered avocado toast.
I certainly did. Now,
there is some hypocrisy that needs to be explained.
No, I said something in jest that I will never repeat, even when pressed on air or off air. I'll deny saying it, and I would never have made that joke that you think I made right now. So I'm just putting that to rest real quick.
I don't need anyone to know what the joke was.
Yeah, I'm just saying I'll never say it.
There was a lot of chirping about Clary liking avocado toast.
Well, my model is there wasn't a lot of chirping. It was a joke that was made that will stay dead and buried.
Okay.
Okay, it's gone.
Sure.
That's number one. Number two, it wasn't like an aggressive hounding for hours on end where he had to deal with, he was the butt of jokes for a long time. I made one crack. And, of course, I'll deny it forever. And then we moved on with the day. So
Clary thought enough of it to take pictures of you eating the avocado toast today.
Which is totally fine. He's allowed to do that. It put the idea of avocado toast in my head, though. Right? And so that's all of a sudden, it's like, you know what? I want a little something before I have my Italian beef sandwich, which was divine, if I can say that. And so, you know, I kind of balanced the new with kind of the old school, right? I got a meat sandwich that I'm dipping in its own sauce, which is, you know, sort of the very, you know, let's talk about, that's like a machismo, masculine fries, dipping sauce, hunks of meat kind of a sandwich. And then kind of the new school, in touch with the new, in touch with all parts of me. All right, the good, the bad, everything in between. Put on my reflection trunks, take a swim in Lake Mead. A little bit of avocado toast with a delightful balsamic drizzle.
Speaking of a little ball busting and some joning, you have prepared, I believe, to kick off tonight's event, a roast of all of the members of the staff.
Apologies in advance to everybody.
It's always very nice, by the way.
Yeah,
when we we agree to do this event,
it'll
CK sends out a nice email. We all show up. No money changes hands.
Yeah.
You know, we just want to go hang out with listeners, and then it starts with Danny making fun of us for a little
while. Just 10, 12, 15 minutes of, you know, where no one gets to take a shot at me, and I'm just, you know, turning the guns
nice.
On everyone. It is. Now, if someone else is willing to do it, they're more than welcome to do so.
Here's what I would say.
Uh-huh.
I think there are probably willing participants, but that's a no-win situation.
That's true, yes.
Like the Danny's done with his 12-minute set. Let me now come out and do 3 minutes about Danny. There's no good way to do that.
No.
I would say on top of that, then it's like you're rebutting him, so you didn't take it well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're essentially, you come off like a big baby.
Yeah, it's
kind of wear it. You let Danny do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
He gets through without any kind of shrapnel.
Yeah.
And we all move on to fight another.
Yeah, it's like scheduling a mid-major if you're a dominant program. Like, you're supposed to win. If you do, no one gives you credit for it. If you lose, it's a devastating loss. And at the end of the year, Ken Palm's like, look at that bad loss they had to the mid-major.
Let me ask
totally
you this.
Get it. Yeah.
Who would you not want to be going into tonight's 106.7 The Fan Live event? Knowing your set list and your jokes that you've jotted down.
You.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I didn't mean it that way when I started.
Okay.
But that's that, and I love you dearly.
Thank you.
You're my guy, 11 years. But this is one of those ones where I went, am I sure? And I was like, I'll apologize after. And that's kind of what I'll have to do on that one.
Okay, good.
And the junks also. But that's kind of the list. And
all of the junks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So B. Mitch and Finley are getting off a little easy.
No, there's one in there that I ran by you and you went, ooh, that's tough.
Oh, yeah, that one.
You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I told you not to say that one.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. And what my hope is that Brian can't hear from the green room.
Okay.
That's my hope.
So I know that last year
mm-hmm.
there was enough interest in what you were going to be saying.
Yep.
That people left the green room to come up on stage behind the curtains and watch and listen.
Well, what was interesting is the way the venue was, it's, you know, a professional term here, bear with me, as a professional entertainer. It's stage right, all right?
Okay.
It's in.
How does that work, by the way?
So it's the opposite of the
of
audience.
What I view?
Yeah, so if I'm on stage looking out at the audience, that's my stage right, pointing the right with my right hand, that's stage left with my left
hand. So stage right is based on you as the performer.
So the opposite.
So
the
audience, we were all on stage right, mm-hmm. behind the curtain, watching your set.
And the thing is, that curtain's not obscuring anybody. It's an open walkway, and I can see everyone standing there. A couple guys, arms folded. One person's name rhymes with Schmein Schmitchell, is an intimidating presence, and he's standing there with his arms folded while I made a couple of a couple jokes.
A few of them.
Yeah.
So that's going to be right to kick off the night, right at about 8 o'clock.
Yeah, just to kind of set the tone.
Set the mood a little bit. Again, always a great way to get the night started for a big evening of station fellowship.
And when we were talking about, like, you know, setting up for the event, the run of show and things, and you and I are kind of, you know, emceeing this thing and sort of, you know, running the ship, so to speak. And I was asking our boss about it, and I was like, hey, I'm happy to do that again because that was so much fun. And now that we're a few hours away from it, I'm really nervous about that part of it. The last time, I don't know, I wasn't really. This time I am. I'm, like, concerned that people are going to be upset at me.
I wouldn't be overly concerned. I think you got to be able to take a joke a little bit, roll with the punches. I mean, the tough thing, I would say, just normally about being roasted, though, is that there is truth to all of your jokes. Like, they're coming from a place of, so Danny's like, oh, he made that joke. You know that's what he thinks. So that's going to be tough for you to have to deal with.
Yeah.
if you get a good pop, is it worth the pop?
I mean, it is to me.
Is it worth the momentary pop?
And that's why I've argued for years. Argued is the wrong term. Like I'm always like,
yeah, you're standing on the table, going to the mattress, really fighting over it.
I've advocated, though, that we should do this as an event. We should have a station roast. I've always believed that. Like, let these really talented broadcasters and people that can speak well and are funny write funny stuff and, like, sit down and actually do it. And, you know, I can help people with it. Like, the Junkies producers, Matt and Matt, the boys are great at this. They come up with excellent material about everybody. So my point is, I think we should do that, and it's immediately shot down where it's like, no, everyone's skin is so thin. These fragile weirdos that make up radio could not handle this. But for some reason, I'm allowed to do this.
I don't think the skin is as thin as you think. Again, you went really hard last time.
I did.
Nobody really took great issue with it.
That's true.
Right?
I mean, I think there was an intoxication level that made it fine. I don't know if that's going to happen. Yeah. I don't know this time. I don't know.
I mean, if our crew's getting together, there's going to be some inebriation probably.
I mean, some oat sodas.
That's definitely what helps. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. If you go into that thing completely sober and you hear some of the jokes, I don't know if you like them as much.
He said what?
But cannot wait for tonight. Should be a lot of fun. We're very, very excited to hang out with listeners over at the Tally Ho Theater all evening long. Specific to the D.C. sports scene, which we'll be talking a lot about throughout the event, I did want to mention that the Capitals in an overtime loss last night proved themselves yet again hilariously capable. I mean, they were getting their butts beat, weren't playing particularly well. They're down multiple goals.
Count them out at your own peril, man.
And then they immediately, like, I have texts from three or four different friends, including you, about how terrible they're playing and how annoying the game is and how maddening this team is in this performance against Ottawa. My brother's going nuts. All my buddies. And then it's tied after, like, 3 good minutes of hockey.
Just incredible.
Because they're that good. But the story is not necessarily that they stole a point, which I was immensely impressed by, because they're out of gas, a couple of weeks on the road, fifth game of a road trip. There's really no reason that you're getting off the mat to scratch and claw for that 1 point with 2 third-period goals, and they did it. But the story is another Alex Ovechkin goal.
Yep.
We have not talked, because we've been all eyes on the Commanders for so long, about where he's at in the chase for Wayne Gretzky. But to update people, there are 31 games remaining in the Capitals season, right? 31. He has played 35 on the year. He currently has 23 goals. So some rough back of the napkin math tells you, you know, he is on a pace the rest of the way for around 20 to 22 goals, right? He is scoring at a rate of 0.66 goals per game. So don't get lost in the weeds on these numbers. I'm just making a larger point. His current goal pace this season, which is one of the best of his career, is 0.66 goals per game. He needs to score at a 0.54 goals pace the rest of this season to break the record. So he is on pace to do just that. Right now the projection is, it's going to be tight, that he would clinch in game 80. That with 2 games to go, Alex Ovechkin, who is now just 19 goals away from becoming the all-time goal scorer in the National Hockey League, would break Wayne Gretzky's record. Not next year in the final year of his deal. That's all just adding to his own record. Mm-hmm. But this year, which would be...
with a broken leg in the rearview mirror.
Just an unfathomable accomplishment.
It's stupid. It's stupid. Again, there are several plays that I was watching... my oldest son actually wandered in after his basketball practice and was watching the game with me, you know, while they were giving up goals on their own power plays, by the way. As I said, they weren't playing great in some of those moments. If they had the power play for 60 minutes, they might have lost 12-0 in that game. That was just so weird. I've never seen anything like that. 2 shorthanded goals on 1 power play. I don't remember ever seeing that. Anyway, point of the story is, as we're watching, he was asking me about Ovechkin and, you know, curious about the record and all these other kinds of things. And I was trying to explain to him, like, when he was younger, I said, look at this play right here. There's a, you know, a puck that's looks like 50-50 that he can't get to anymore, right? That he's going to lose that puck battle now. Whereas when he was 26, he knocked that guy into next week, had the puck, created a scoring chance, may have scored, maybe not. But just, it's different. It's a different player now than he was then. And he's still scoring at this prolific rate. It doesn't make any sense. When you take away an athlete's ability to do this, 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 and this, as he's done for so many years, you're not talking about a player that should be doing anything like what he's doing right now. He should be on a 10-goal pace, and we're kind of like awkwardly wondering, like, is it too late? Should he hang him up? The answer is no. It's so absurd. This is a once-in-a-lifetime athlete that nothing he does makes any sense, and bet against him at your own peril. I mean, it's beyond incredible what he's doing at this point.
He's sitting at 876 goals.
Amazing.
Gretzky's all-time record is 894, 18 from tying, 19 from moving ahead with 31 to play, which just suggesting that a guy on the verge of 40 years old could go out and score 19 goals over a 31-game span down the stretch in a year in which he's coming back from a broken leg, that in and of itself is ridiculous. Like, that's not a conversation or a thing that should be reasonable. But when we've seen him score at a pace the likes of which he hasn't for the majority of his career, like he has this season, I mean, we're talking about a year where he could be in the running for, maybe even be the Rocket Richard winner for the most goals in the NHL this year, if not for the injury he suffered on a trip out west earlier in the season. It's just startling. It's absolutely crazy. But I'm here to tell you, Danny, I think he breaks the record this year, because I do think there's going to be a couple of games where he pots a pair of goals, maybe an empty net goal here or there, where he scores two in a game that makes up for some games where he doesn't. And he has not had a heater really since right when he came back from the injury. One of those, and these are inevitable and they just happen all the time. His goals come in bunches after scoring last night. Maybe that's going to be the start of this. But you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
6 goals in 4 games, 11 goals in 9 games or whatever. He's one of those stretches away from it being a lock that it happens. So I don't know about you, but right now, this moment, if I had to bet, I would say he breaks the record this season.
So here's what I'm never going to do again. Is predict any sort of Ovechkin won't do it thing at any time. I've learned my lesson. I have been incorrect, not in like a malicious way, but I sort of said, hey, this is kind of normal. Guys slow down at this age, and so the greatest goal scorer of all time, and you know there's an appreciation for it. I have said he won't on a couple different occasions. Never again. He's doing it.
Yeah.
There is something bigger than just regular hockey being played here when he goes about it. The nose for the goal, the shot is still lethal. The way that he's finding a way with, you know, 2 more assists last night to contribute to an excellent hockey team, it's happening, man. The biggest reason I think it will, in addition to his prowess, and he's phenomenal, the team is so much better, and they're playing so many close games and winning them, that those empty net goals, those 3, 4, 5, even 7 or 8 more over the course of this season, those are obviously going to add up. Right? I mean, when you're down, as they were all last year, it's 1-1 or, you know, nothing in the, deep into the third period, you don't have those opportunities. When you're winning one goal games late, now you have those chances. And he's got a handful of those this year that I just think didn't exist last year.
Yeah, I also want to just say, while we're talking empty net goals for a moment, because one of the things I hear that frustrates me is that Ovechkin is some great beneficiary of a bunch of empty net goals that Wayne Gretzky didn't get to benefit from. Here are the actual numbers on that. Gretzky in his career scored 56 empty net goals. Ovi right now is just over 60 at 62. So we're 6 goals different between Ovechkin and Gretzky. And maybe when he breaks the record, the number will be 64, let's say, and he'll be 8 goals in the clear of Gretzky with empty net goals. But when you hear someone say, oh, it's an empty net goal, it's not like he's got 90 and Gretzky had 6, or like he's got 70 and Gretzky had 40. It's essentially the same amount. He's got 6 more empty netters in his career. That's point number one. Point number two is, you trust me, people that want to diminish the Ovechkin accomplishment, you don't want to talk about the quality of goals. That's not a conversation you want to get into. Because you can go back and watch Wayne Gretzky's highlights when goalies were 172 pounds and didn't wear pads, and the net looked like a soccer net, and the game was wide open, and goals were way easier to come by. You know, the average goals in a game were higher. Scores were routinely 7-4. Scoring is so much harder now than it was when Gretzky played. And scoring throughout Ovechkin's era has been imminently harder. So any kind of dialogue or discussion, and I see this from the occasional anti-Ovi troll or whatever, oh, it's an empty net goal. Wayne Gretzky scoring a goal, every goal he scored comparatively was an empty net goal. He's never had to do this in this era with these goaltenders who alternate every other game so that they're mentally locked in with these pads and the net smaller than it's ever been based on what's covered. So you can miss me with that conversation. I think it's ludicrous and it's completely ignorant.
Yeah, if you'd like a data point that says Alex Ovechkin has more empty net goals than Wayne Gretzky does. Correct. Thanks. Really appreciate it. So if you want to talk about the ease of scoring and whatever factor you want to put on, let's put a number on it. Let's say those empty net goals for Ovi are 1.3 times easier than Wayne Gretzky or whatever. Well, every goal that Gretzky scored was 1.3 times easier than Ovechkin's. I'm just making up that number. It's arbitrary. Maybe somebody really smart could put one together. The point is, I think when Wayne started, not all the goalies wore masks. Not all the defensemen were wearing helmets. You know? And it's not telling you that Wayne Gretzky's not the greatest player ever. He is. I saw it. He was perfect. He's the best hockey player I've ever seen. He'll go untouched in that regard, right? He's the best. In terms of goal scoring, though, as you said, not just because I'm here in D.C. and I happen to love Ovechkin, but it is a really bizarre, kind of narrow, pick-and-choose conversation that you don't really want to have if you want to talk about ease of scoring or cheap goals or kind of whatever. So the greatest goal scorer of all time wears number 8 in red.
Yeah. The other guy is the greatest player of all time.
Without question.
And I don't think anybody would really dispute or debate that at this point. But amazing that he scored again last night, and he is on the brink of history. We'll be tracking him throughout the remainder of the season to see if he can pull it off. One of the big topics in town the last few days has been the idea that the Commanders are set to change their uniforms this offseason. Should they already be tweaking uniforms, and what do we want them to do? As I'd say two people who have been detractors of what they've actually been wearing the last couple of years. We'll get into that next. You're listening to Grant and Danny. We're in Leesburg. We're at the Green Tree Tavern. We've got our big event tonight out at Tally Ho Theater. So if you've got tickets to the show and you're going, come on out, hang out with us here in pregame. You're locked into the Fan.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
live at Green Tree Tavern on a Friday field trip out in Leesburg. Come on by and hang out with us. We're going to be here until 6:30, 4 hours from now. And then we're walking over to the Tally Ho Theater, which is right around the corner, for our live 106.7 The Fan event on stage, which is going to be a lot of fun. Welcome back, and thank you for making the show part of your day. Hopefully we see many of you out here as the day goes on. Danny, there was a story that came out from one of the members of the team's broadcast crew, actually.
Yeah.
Saying that Washington was looking into changing its uniforms and that there would be some tweaks to the unis going into next season. I think a lot of people were surprised by that. We have been hearing at the station that there's going to be changes to the uniforms for months, actually. And this goes back to the fall from when I had first heard that there were going to be changes made next year. This is a process, has to be approved by the league. It takes a long time. And the way it was described to me was that this is actually not something that's just happening right now. It's been happening.
It's been in process.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For a couple of years, and they couldn't get it all done and approved before this season. But by next year, that they're going to be changing the uniforms. We don't know the specifics, really. The thing I had heard along the way was there's an attempt and an effort by this ownership group to have uniforms that look more like the uniforms did when Joe Gibbs' 1.0 version Redskins were winning Super Bowls. And that was kind of the idea, is that that old burgundy that's different than certainly the burgundy on the white jerseys,
yep,
right, or that USC-looking burgundy currently, maybe comes back into the fold. Now, we haven't been able to confirm, corroborate all of these things. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I can tell you that this is not something that there weren't rumblings about. This has been talked about a lot,
yep,
in inner circles around the team. I think what's going to happen is that they're going to look a lot more like the old Redskins jerseys. Now, don't get ahead of yourselves. Don't get excited. No Redskins logo. They're not going back to anything Redskins. It'll be that block W. But whereas most of us have looked at these unis and said this color scheme is not the same, I think they're trying to fix that. That's my guess, is that what we heard along the way was it's going to look a little bit more like it did back in the early to mid-90s with Gibbs with the current logo.
There you go. Nothing's going to please everybody, right? There's no possible way to do everything perfect here. You can either do as much as you can and live with the consequences, or go in a totally new direction and see if that catches on. So when you do a burgundy that's similar but not the same, that to me is the worst thing you can do. And we talked about that. And we were told that, no, it's going to be the same, and it's not. I don't care what the color palette says. I don't care if a computer tells me it is. My eyes tell me that it's not the same. I know it's not the same. Don't tell me it's the same and then not have it be the same. If you'd like it to be all new, you want to make the team colors red, white, and blue to fit in with the rest of what DC does, that's your call too. But when you try to sort of do it kind of like the old way, but with your new interpretation, I think that's the worst of both worlds. Right? Hopefully that was clear enough. So to me, when you talk to this fan base, especially guys kind of my age, and I think a little bit younger than me, but you know, say 38, 39, 40 and older, anything you can do where you go, hey man, this will be like 1991. The answer is yes. Done and done, right? This will be like 87, correct? This will be like, all the best teams where they wear white at home. You'll recognize the jerseys. It'll look like your legends are in those jerseys again. Yes. That's as big a step as they're able to take, you know, in terms of whether it's rebranding or, you know, changing a name here, there. There's so many complications. You don't have to do anything else other than you give us that. That's a good piece of candy to receive.
Yeah, I mean, look, they want to appease and appeal as best they can to the forgotten group that feels like they're never going to love the team again. And I don't know how many of those Redskins diehards who didn't like the name change to Commanders got in during this playoff run. I'd imagine the majority of them were excited, watched the games, cheered, got amped up, and just, in spite of the name, were giddy for the success of the organization. But there are certainly some holdouts, some people that don't like this name and have sworn off the organization because of the name change. I don't know if they're reachable. I wouldn't really worry that much about that group of people if I was this ownership group, because I think they're lost in a sense.
To a degree, yeah. I think some are. Yeah.
If an NFC Championship game run and doing everything different and better and having a good process is not going to appeal to them in some way, then there's only so much you could do. You're trying to help. You're trying to help. At some point, you just got to cut bait and say, okay, it's not Redskins. They're anti anything else. It's never going to be Redskins, so you lost them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are plenty of people, I think, that feel like you are just trampling on their history. And maybe they're not, you know, what would you call it? Like, politically, it's never this or never that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they're not never anything Redskinsers, but they are disenfranchised and annoyed that when you put out a jersey, as an example, when you retire Daryl Green's jersey, you're showing him in the image of like a Commander's jersey. You shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
He was a Redskin. Let's not pretend like he wasn't. I think there's a reasonable faction of the fan base that is livid that the name got changed that is still reachable. And those are the people they should be focused on.
Mm-hmm.
I think correctly they're going to. And those are the people, if the uniforms look like the Redskins jerseys, just with a W instead of a Redskins logo.
Right.
If, you know, you have that patch on the top still that celebrates the history right above the letter plate, but it's the correct burgundy and the correct gold, and I turn on the game, and I don't see what looks like an expansion team. Because when they wear those white jerseys, I'm used to it now, but the ones they wore throughout the playoffs, I don't know about you. I mean, I'll always think about Carson Wentz because it was kind of when it started.
Yeah.
But I look at those and I go, that's not the thing. That's not the thing I grew up with.
It's not
the thing my mom told me about. The black jerseys, of course, has nothing to do with this organization. I don't know what they'll do with those. Those are very, very popular with young people, so maybe you could have an alternate. But they've got to just keep finding ways, while they're still the Commanders, which might be in perpetuity now, to throw it back to the people that feel like you've taken something from them.
To me, it's the strategy or the question, and these guys are fans, so I'm guessing which way they're going to go, but just to hear myself talk for the sake of argument, what's the biggest tent? How do I get the biggest tent if I'm Harris, Rails, Ein and company, Magic Johnson and everybody else, right? Is it to just say, you know what? We're never going to win back some of those, only this type fans. And we need
only fans, you said?
No, only this
type
fans. I don't even know what the other thing is you mentioned. That's weird. You know. Anyway, and we're doing nothing but black jerseys. We're doing these things that have no connection to the old thing. It's a new name. It's basically like an expansion team. You could go a million miles in that direction and just try to build a new thing. I don't think they're doing that, by the way. What I'm saying, that's one strategy to try to make the tent as big as possible. It'll take longer to be more of a challenge. The next way, or the opposite way, short of doing the thing that maybe some of these, diehards or people that refuse to, get on board with the new thing, is as much candy, I keep calling it that, as you can in the older directions, right? So don't pretend that Charles Mann was a Commander. Don't pretend that John Riggins was a Commander. Don't do that. Acknowledge. Use the 90 uniforms. Use the Joe Gibbs one. Everything but the things that you can't. Go as far in that direction as the current climate and time will allow. I'm guessing that's what they're going to do to try to build that biggest tent possible.
To me, that's got to be the bare minimum, though, is that you can't act like it didn't happen. And there's frankly no reason to, really, if we're being honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can change the name and tell me that should happen because of, you know, the fact that we've advanced or terms matter and we're acknowledging now why the name was changed, whatever, that's fine. The idea that I can't then, like, someone somewhere cringes when I say Daryl Green was one of the great Redskins of all time. I'm sorry. That's the team he played for. That was the name of the team. I will play along with any name. When they were the Redskins, I called them that. You refuse to say Commanders as often as possible. Do you? I call them what they're called. I don't advocate. I'm not, going full Mike Wise here. They're the Commanders. That's what they are.
They are, yes.
At this moment. And if they were something, if they were the, Green Tree Taverns, I'd call them that too. Whatever the name is what I'm going to call them.
That's Green Tree Tavern, sponsorship idea.
That's right.
Right? That's a lot of cash, but I think you could do it.
You could figure that out.
Sell a few more beef sandwiches and some avocado toast, and now they're the Green Tree Taverns.
But the bottom line to me is you have to not pretend.
It's the pretending.
Like the previous thing didn't happen. And so when you change the colors a little bit, that's kind of what you're doing, in my opinion. So here's the question for you, and we can open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines on this, and you and I can answer this next. You're in charge of new uniforms. What are you doing? What changes would you make? What don't you want to see change? Is there anything that's grown on you enough that you say, let's actually keep this? Because even though maybe initially it wasn't love, there's something to this now. We'll open up the phones. 800-636-1067 for you guys. And we're going to answer that question next. How would you tweak the uniforms? And what should this ownership group be thinking in this regard going into what's a pivotal offseason now after the momentum of Commanders with all the winning seems to really have taken hold? We're Grant and Danny. We are at Green Tree Tavern in Leesburg, head of our big show at Tally Ho Theater tonight. You're listening to The Fan. I'm a big Green Tree Tavern guy. That's where we're broadcasting from today in Leesburg. Come on out and kick it with us. Enjoy some sports banter and fellowship. We are live on 106.7 The Fan until 6:30 from Green Tree Tavern, and then we got our big show tonight over at Tally Ho Theater right here in Leesburg. Should be a great day. Question at hand for you guys. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open for you right now. The story that has trickled out this week is that the Commanders are going to be tweaking their uniforms, and that came from a member of the team's employee, right, from their broadcast crew. This is something that we've heard rumblings about since the fall. We've been told they're trying to go back to their roots a little more, something that looks like the early 90s Joe Gibbs Redskins Super Bowl uniforms, and that would obviously be pretty well received, I'd say, by the fan base. But, Danny, let me ask you this. If you were in charge of this project, which has been going on for an extended period of time behind the scenes, with this ownership group, what would you want the uniform tweaks to be?
I want the 1991 jersey combo. The first thing is I would say, what did Joe Gibbs do? They wore white at home. Wear white at home. White tops, burgundy pants with the old school burgundy gold and white stripes on the side. White jersey, again, with the burgundy, gold, and white piping on the sleeves. That's the time for celebration. That's when they were great. Road jerseys, white pants, single red stripe on the side, burgundy tops with the yellow, with the gold, white, and then the burgundy piping on the sides. Done and done. Helmets got the stripes. Let's rock and roll. We got to change out the logo. We'll fix that block W when we get a chance to do it. But first things first, 1991 jerseys, that's when it was perfect. Make it so again.
I love that. I'm not going to add a whole lot. I will just say that I do think once a year they should be wearing throwback jerseys that are actual Redskins jerseys. Now, I'm not a crazy person, right? Mm-hmm. I understand they're never going to have that Redskins insignia or logo on their uniform again. I'm not suggesting that. But I don't know why they can't have the R as an example. Which is not offensive. It's a letter, right? So, like, if you remember the Jason Campbell, Chris Cooley team,
yep,
for the 75th anniversary, they had these beautiful yellow helmets with the burgundy R with the white circle. I loved this kit. They had the yellow and burgundy stripes on the sleeves, on the white jersey with the burgundy numbers. I think you could wear that as a throwback. I think they could go back to, really, if they wanted to play it safe, the uniforms that they wore every year for their homecoming game that were like the kind of, I guess you'd say, actual gold pants, because the gold pants are like more of a mustard yellow, right? Mm-hmm. But those gold pants with the deep dark burgundy and the very basic like gold numbers. Think about what Robert Griffin or Kirk Cousins wore for those years where they had like the brown helmets that were supposed to be like leather helmets. I think you could wear that once a year and it would look awesome. I don't see why they couldn't wear the throwback jerseys from maybe it was the 70th anniversary, one of my favorites ever,
uh-huh,
with like the would have been like not an arrowhead, but almost like the feathered what would you call this?
I thought it was a spear. The spear look.
Spear is the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Thank you. A spear with the feather. I don't know why you couldn't do that. I mean, I'm watching the Chiefs Super Bowl against the Eagles from a couple of years ago with the arrowhead and KC on their helmet,
uh-huh,
right? Like that burgundy, deep burgundy that they wore for that throwback year, I think would play. But there's got to be a way for them to actually have, you know, a true throwback uniform to the Redskins that I would like to see them implement, whatever changes they make once a year. But let's see what you guys think. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Felix, who's in Leesburg. Felix, we're in your backyard, man. Come on over to Green Tree Tavern. What's up?
Yeah, I heard about that too late, man. Sold out. First time caller.
Appreciate you calling in. Thank you, bro.
Anyways, I agree with pretty much everything you just said. I've been a fan since like 72, and the fact is this franchise has had many shades of burgundy and gold, so, you know, you can either, as a primary, go back to the 90s, Gibbs 1.0 version as a primary, or use that as your alternate and go to something more like deeper burgundy. But the one thing they got right, I think, this time around, the one thing and the one thing only, is the matte burgundy helmet. I think that looks really cool. It makes whatever detail on the side of the helmet really pop. But
I'm a matte helmet guy. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, buddy.
I think the matte helmets are really cool. I've always liked matte helmets. What about the black uniforms? Because I'm sure you hate them, Danny.
I do hate them, yes.
That's to be expected, like,
yeah,
easiest layup ever.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to acknowledge how popular they are.
Oh, they are, well, without question.
Especially with young people, how much, like, that's what kids are buying?
Yes.
That was the jersey Jaden Daniels.
You couldn't find the black Jaden Daniels jersey. Couldn't find it.
I think that's something they've got to wear maybe once a year, even if they go back to the Gibbs kit.
If I get my let's say, for sake of argument, let's say of the 17 games, if 16 of them are the correct old school 1991 then Redskins, now whatever the dumb team name is, jerseys. Yes, fine. I'll trade you one alternate. I'll trade you one Thursday night game where you wear the newfangled thing. As long as I get my thing, for the most part, I can live with a couple of tweaks here and there. The problem is when there's no home base of anything that I recognize, and then you also have this newfangled thing that has no connection
right.
to the past, then I've been served nothing. Like, nothing is coming my way that I would like to eat.
I just don't think you're asking for much if you're a lifetime fan of this team who wants to turn on the TV and see something that looks recognizable to what you loved your whole life. That's not a big ask. And 95% of us are acknowledging you're not getting the old logo, we get it. You're not getting the old name, we get it. But I'd like to not see something that makes me think this is not the team that I watched with my mom and dad when I was a child. That's not a big ask.
Right.
Brad in Manassas, what's going on? How are you?
How are you?
Good, buddy.
I was just curious if what you guys' thoughts are. What if the football team made a Florida State Seminole-type deal with the Blackfoot tribe? They could go back to the old uniforms, including the logo, and call the team the Washington Blackfeet.
Well, it's just not happening, honestly. And I appreciate the call.
Hey, thank you, bud.
I hate even giving any oxygen to the conversation, and that might annoy people. It's just not reality. Like, we could keep spinning our wheels if we want to. And what if they did this and they honored this team? The ship sailed. That needed to be done 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Meanwhile, Dan Snyder was just trolling people in the USA Today. They missed the boat. And because he was hated and he tormented a lot of people and treated a lot of people terribly, their name and their logo are gone. In addition to the fact that their name and logo is not the same as Chiefs or some of the other phrases, I think most of us can acknowledge that. So that's gone, and it's not coming back. So I'm trying to deal with the reality of what is and not what ifs that are just not practical.
I think that's fair.
I hate to be the bad guy.
No, I know that
I vilify myself. Like, there's a lot of people that hear that, Danny, and are like, screw you, man. I'm sorry. That's just reality.
And I want to be clear. I'm not upset at the question. It's thoughtful.
Agreed.
Right?
Totally.
Because one of the things we've talked about a number of times is I can't believe what else is allowed to go. And my thing here in Washington was taken away. I understand the Dan Snyder factor, and that's obviously, is a catalyst for all this stuff. But I'm stunned constantly as to, that's fine, and nobody really seems to bat an eye, whereas my thing was so beyond offensive that it had to go away immediately, etc. So his point's a good one when you're doing comparisons. I don't mind that comparison. I think it's a good thought exercise. But the correct point, I think, is the one that you just made. There's no other way to spell that out. The thing that so many of you are asking about, wanting, care for, I understand. It's also not realistic.
Also,
no matter how bad you want it, no matter how long you hold your breath.
Or Harris wants it. Let's say the ownership group desperately wanted it. This is all approved by and in some way dictated by the league. The league will not allow for that to happen.
Right.
So we could talk about it if we want to. Just like we could talk about what happens if Danny and I go on a double date with Scarlett Johansson and Jessica Biel.
Let's talk about that, actually.
We should do that. That would be a lot of fun.
Our wives are cool with it, too, by the way.
I think they'd be thrilled. Yeah, I know my wife is fine with it.
Yeah, my wife would be like, dude, go ahead. Good luck.
Whatever.
What are you going to say to them?
What change would you make to the uniforms? The news is that the Commanders are tweaking their uniforms. And is anybody willing to say that the new look has grown on them enough that they wouldn't go back to the old one? 800-636-1067. You're listening to Grant and Danny from Leesburg on The Fan.